Thank you, brother, so much. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
So I need to borrow somebody's Bible just for a minute. I always type my scriptures up when I'm visiting, so I don't take a lot of time. But look at this Bible. In case this is video and this is a woman's Bible, it's not my Bible. So will you pray with me in the name of Jesus? Father, we just want to thank you for this day. I'm so blessed by the testimony of that young man. I pray, oh God, that through this house, the nations will be changed. Not just Columbia County, Greene County, the nations would be changed. And Father, we're so thankful this day that your eyes are upon the righteous and your ears are attentive to their cry. We cry unto you this day, Lord. We lay aside every weight, every sin that tries to beset us. And we declare the Lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives, over our families. Somebody say amen. And over the ministry you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. What am I doing wrong here? Oh, okay. I tried to hook this on my belt, but it went down my pants. It's like by my underwear. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to put it back down there. I almost went down and hit my knee. Okay. Maybe I'll stick it right there. Is that okay? Hallelujah. One of the things I do every time I preach in our church, I'm not into what they call the word of faith movement, but I'm into faith. Amen? So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to hold them nice and high with me and declare with me. In the name of Jesus, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. And I can do what it says I can do. This is the incorruptible, indestructible, true living word of God. Father God, my heart is open. My mind is alert. And in Jesus' name, I'll mix your word with my faith. And I declare I will never, ever be the same in Jesus' name. I've been doing this before Joe Osteen was in the ministry. So just if you're thinking about it, I don't want to thank you, young lady, give you your Bible. I so enjoyed your worship today and the kulaks. I enjoyed that young Canadian woman. I know where you're from. Hallelujah. I just want to say that my wife couldn't be here today. She would love to be here. And by the way, I just want to thank you that she is strong in the Lord, strong in cancer. You know, the devil always comes to check you out to see if that word's in your head or if it's in your heart. So, she was declared cancer-free, yeah, a few years ago. They gave her an 8% chance of living that year. She had two different cancers, and now she's cancer-free. But the devil always comes to check you out. And I'm going to share a word this morning, something that's been on my heart that I'm sharing as I travel nations and through different churches. So my wife gets, they check her blood still like every 6 months. Checked her blood, and the doctor said, you need to get right in here. Your numbers have changed, and we're concerned. So we prayed in faith, and she goes and gets her CT scan and all this kind of stuff. And so now we're waiting to find out. But we're in faith, but we are still natural human people. And I didn't even say this to her. The day we're waiting for the results to come back, I get something from Omaha Mutual, an insurance company. I open it up. It says it's insurance policy for anybody in your family who's got cancer. And let me tell you what, the devil's always there to check you out, to see what that word is, if it's here, if it's in there. So I rip that thing up and curse the devil in the name of Jesus. She comes out the next morning weeping, and she said, we got the results. It was a misread, and I'm fine. Everything is good. But just the devil's always there to check you out. Amen? Hallelujah. I do want to just share this word this morning. It's something the Holy Ghost has been speaking to me about. As I travel the nations and meet with pastors, I had a pastor come up from Queens yesterday to meet with me about apostolic ministry and things like that. And just so you know, we have a man in our church who got saved. He was Hindu. So yesterday, he organizes a meeting with about 80 Hindus and brings me up, and we had a meeting. And just preached the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Talked about the life of Barabbas and all that kind of stuff. And I watched these Hindus come to Jesus. Now, I don't know what we're going to do with them all. I've been saying to our elders, you know, because I did a meeting a few months ago, and I had about 16, 18 of them get saved, Hindus. So I'm trying to say to the elders, which one will go take this work? Because it's not me. I can gather them, but I'm not looking to go to Schenectady. When I was in East Africa, God called me to Albany, and that's where I'm going to stay. Because I get under the spout and the glory comes out and I'm not moving in Jesus' name. And so just before I share this word, I'm going to talk about how to respond when faith seems weak. I meet with pastors all the time, and I'm not talking about young Christians. I'm talking about people in the faith, 20, 30 years. I just spent 1 week for 4 months in Florida, and I went to a conference for pastors. You had to be in the ministry over 35 years. And so March 7th, I'm 48 years preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm just getting going now. I'm getting warmed up. I'm in my 70s and I'm ready to go. And I met in a circle with ministers who were so discouraged. Every month, about 1,500 Protestant ministers quit the ministry. There's a lot of demonic attack in this nation right now. And by the way, I don't know if you discern the season we're living in, but we're living in the last days. There's a beginning of the last days and an end of the last days, and just the way the demonic things are happening and manifesting just in the last 8 years. I'm amazed even within the church. I deal with pastors, and some of them become woke. Yeah. Like that young man he was testifying about who knew Christ. I'm familiar with the apostolic movement out of South Africa that happened with John G. Lake. That's where it all came from. And how many of them fell away from the faith and become seduced by doctrines of devils and things like that. So I want you to know that we're living in the last days. And here's what's important about living in the last days. You must understand that Satan has a strategy to keep the lost man lost. Come on, somebody say amen. And to keep the Christian weak, anemic, spiritually undeveloped. That's his strategy. And what he's doing in these latter days, his strategy is to bring spiritual dilution, to dilute you spiritually. And there's a major difference between doubt and faith. We're going to just talk to you on that in a minute. And so I don't want to get into where I want to go because I got to get out of here, bro. What'd you say, 145? Something 145. Oh, you still love me? Let me just kind of move ahead. How to respond when your faith seems weak. Look, I could preach about a lot of messages. I've preached in probably over 300 churches in many, many nations, 40 nations or something like that. But what I'm finding in these last days that people who started in faith are not continuing in faith. What they're doing is they're enduring. In him is life, and that life, come on, it's the life of God. And I've been praying for people who love Jesus, but somehow they lost that spark that only the Spirit of God can give you. And I don't know what's going on in Columbia County, but if I was a betting man, I'm saying the same thing. I'm seeing the same thing for sure. Let me give you Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Are you okay? Yeah. Here's what Paul said. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. Here it is. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And this is an important issue. I've had, just over the last few weeks, my own faith has been challenged. I stayed with a family from another country. They have no family in this country, and I buried their 11-month-old baby boy. Sat in the hospital every day with them, just the continual bombardment of the devil. The next week, I buried another lady in our church's son. And the question is, you know, why? I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a fallen world. Take that to the bank. We're living in a fallen world, but the kingdom of God operates by laws. There's many people who think when it comes to God, receiving from God, that God has this big table up there, and he says, all right, answer that prayer and don't answer that prayer. No, there's laws. There's laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what's made you free from the law of sin and death. And so we have no problem when we talk about natural laws like gravity. Somebody gets on a ladder, I've done it, and I've slipped and I've fallen. People aren't saying, I'm amazed he didn't go up. No, because there's laws. There's laws of electricity, and there's spiritual laws. This is really important. It's not hope so, it's know so. And by the way, let me just tell you something. We're going to talk about faith for a few moments. Faith is built on knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 2, grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him in Jesus Christ. You receive these exceeding great and precious promises by the knowledge of God. And so faith, biblical faith, is built on knowledge. That's why it's imperative. If we're going to see this county, the nations change, it would be by people of faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11. I'm trying to go fast because I'm watching the clock at the same time. I don't want Pastor to give me the left foot of fellowship. So, you know this definition. Hebrews 11:1, this is the Amplified Version. I'll just read it. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the convictions of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Amen? So faith, this is my definition of faith. Look at, I can remember back in the early 70s, man, I was going to faith conventions, and I'm still moved by some of those teachings of faith. But here's what I've come to find out about faith. Number one, faith, and look, you have faith. Faith is the fruit of the born-again, recreated spirit. And the Bible says that God has given every person in this room the measure of faith. He didn't give one person the word, the measure of faith. He didn't give a person a spoonful, another person a bucketful. We all have the same measure of faith. I grew up, used to think, oh, if I only had faith like them. I do have faith like them. So don't you. It's a product of the born-again, recreated spirit in Jesus Christ. So the issue is not faith. The issue is doubt and unbelief that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. And Satan's strategy is to dilute you spiritually, to get your eyes so on your circumstance and situations, you forget that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith. If we're quiet for a Baptist church. My definition, that faith is simply receiving. Listen to this. I wish I knew this 40 years ago. Faith is simply receiving what God has already supplied. If he hasn't supplied it through the cross, you're not going to get it. He didn't wait till Adam and Eve were born to say, I'm going to create air. All that you need that pertains to life and godliness comes through the knowledge of the scriptures. Now, that's old-fashioned. That sounds like, oh, this is the way we live. We are Christians. We're not led by prophecy. We're not led by any of those things. We're led by the revelation of the scriptures. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm going to go real quick. It took me 40-some years to learn this, that faith is simply receiving what God has already supplied. Can I tell you something? The Bible says in Titus, the grace of God has appeared and brought salvation to all of humanity. The problem is they don't know. That's why we need a young man like Tom to go into the nations to tell them the good news. The grace of God is already here. We have the ministry of reconciliation. You don't need to wait to get called by God to tell people about Jesus. You're a living epistle. Should be known and read by everybody today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, you remember over in the scripture when it says, I'm going to give you a couple steps that I'm using in our church. I'm helping people with counseling. These are practical. I didn't come to Rock Solid to be so deep, so theological that nobody understands me. I find that people fail in their walk, and the vibrancy, the vim, vigor, and vitality of the Spirit of God is because they forget some of the basics. Just the basics. Just the basics. Your pastor, I schooled him, and I'm still doing it now in Foundations for Life. I've expanded it now. It's 120 pages. On Monday nights, I have brothers who, I got about 8-9 young guys who I'm discipling. On Tuesdays, I got all these African young men, and man, they're so hungry for the Word of God. It's the old people who I'm worried about. You remember when you wouldn't even shut up or change the subject now when it comes to Jesus. But now that you're older and you're mature, you have to be led of the Spirit. So, what to do when your faith seems weak? This is so basic, but I have to go back. When I don't know what to do, I go back to what I know to do. Number one. I'm talking about keys of recover, real basic, and then we're going to pray at the end. I'm sure the pastors will let me. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we'll get you baptized in the Holy Spirit today in the name of Jesus. I met a young lady. Where is she? Right there. She said, last time I came, she got prayed for and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. She said she's still riding in the glory of all that. We need to be filled with the Spirit in these last days. Amen. Number one, What to do when your faith seems weak, really practical. Number one, you must determine the source of your trouble. It's either God or the devil. It's your own making. By the way, can I just say to you, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, I'm going to be okay. I woke up at 4. I needed coffee. I thought you guys should have coffee, but it's after church. Okay. I'll be all fired up, and I'll be preaching all the way home to myself. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, went around doing good. Can I tell you the definition of good? It means it adds something to your life. And James says, God doesn't tempt you, use evil to correct you. But the truth of it is, every son, every daughter who names the name of Jesus, God will correct. If you refuse to submit to that correction of what God is doing in your life, you become illegitimate. That's what the scripture says. So you must discern the source of your trouble. It's either God correcting something, directing something in your life for your betterment, or number two, you're being attacked demonically. And by the way, if you're being attacked demonically, it's a different response than if God is speaking to you about bringing correction and direction in your life. Number three, it could be of your own making. This is beyond us. Sometimes we make wrong decisions. How many would like to go back and change a few decisions that you've made in your life? Amen. I've watched people say things like, you know, I don't know why God is doing this to me. I've had preachers say that to me recently. And it's something evil that's happening. I've heard people say, you know, a child of mine got sick in bad shape. God's trying to teach me something. No, you can learn something from that situation. But if you're going to get victory, you're going to overcome the situation, you must determine the source of your problem. Pastor Fink, that's like ABCs, yeah? A lot of people are failing right there. Look, I'm going to just say something. This is so practical. The devil can only attack you two ways. That's it. Two ways. That's it. He can attack you through people. Not in Hudson, New York. Only up in Albany. I'm sure not down here in Hudson, but up in Albany, we have what we call, not Rambos, they're Lambos. They're attack sheep. I've gotten a nod on by a couple of them. They got me. So the devil can attack you only two ways. Number one, through people or through circumstances and situations. That's it. And if we're going to recover and have our faith strong, you've got to, number one, determine your source of your stress and your problem. And understand Satan can only attack you these two different ways. And so most of the laws that govern the world today came into being as a result of the fall of man. But Romans chapter 8 is my favorite chapter in the book of Romans, probably the greatest theological treatise in the New Covenant. By the way, 16 chapters, it only mentions the devil one time. Stop talking about the devil all the time. Stop talking about how he's attacking you. Attack him. Mentions the devil one time. May the God of peace crush the devil shortly under your foot. That's where he belongs. I have 13 and a half shoe, and that's exactly where he belongs. He don't belong in my wife's body. He don't belong in my mind or my body in the name of Jesus. Will he attack me? Yes. One time, a father in the faith, me, Elbert Willis, I was complaining about spiritual attacks. And Elbert said to me, I'm going to tell your brother Fink how you never will have to be attacked by the devil again. I'm there. Oh, man, give it to me. He said, put your hand in your heart and say, Father, kill me. You can go to heaven. You got no more problems. But if you live in this natural world, there is a war going on. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. Man, I got to move because I don't want Pastor to yell at me. So I've come to find this out. Now, this we're talking about basics. What to do when your faith seems weak. Here's how I understand the will of God for my life. Number one, Jesus Christ is the will of God in action. Let me read it real quick to you. John chapter 14, we're going to move. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Somebody say amen, would you? Yes. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Look at, if you want to see God at work, look at Jesus. He is the will of God. I know that seems so basic, so obvious, but in the time of spiritual attack, we forget that basic things. Because if you're going to overcome and get your faith restored, you must determine your source of problems. Amen? I used to think it was my wife. And if you want to discern the source of your trouble, you're going to have to think in the line with the Word of God. I remember I was only married several months, and the first big fight I had with my wife was over her cooking. To this day, I do 95% of the cooking in my house. I'm a full gospel preacher, but I'm working on it right now. Hallelujah. I joined the Y. I'm doing it. And I was so sick of her cooking. That I grew up with a mother and a father. They canned everything. Her parents were business people. Her father was one of the VPs of General Motors in Detroit. And they that was not like my parents did pickles, you know, all that kind of country type stuff, right? And so she had bought a book. I'm not kidding you. How to Cook Chicken 159 Ways. After about 39 ways, truthfully, she made chicken with oranges on the top of it. I got so upset, I started yelling at her. I can't eat your calamari. You know, and so she screamed at me, I screamed at her, and I'm out of here, you know, like a man would do. I go outside, I slam the door, I'm on the porch. I'm like, where am I going to go? My father said to me once I got married, don't ever think you're coming back here, right? So we had to go back there. We work it all out, and thank God. 50 years later, we're still together. Thank you, Jesus. So remember something. Jesus said this in John 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God is doing the work of Jesus Christ. God is not a thief. Jesus is not a thief. He's not a liar. And that which kills and destroys is not of God. You need to settle that issue. Look at the Bible says over in the book of Jude that the angels that left their first estate, one third of an innumerable, incalculable, multitudinous multitude rebelled against God but Lucifer. God has reserved those fallen demons who live on around this earth and influence us in everlasting chains. Come on, everlasting chains. Somebody say everlasting chains. Everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment day. Where does Satan live? I used to think he lived down in Manhattan. When I came to Albany, I was sure he was in Albany. He lives in darkness. Darkness is not the absence of light. It's the absence of God who is light. And the moment we willfully open the door up, we give to sin, we give Satan legal right to oppress us. God had given him authority to traffic wherever there is. That's why when you got born again, the power of the blood of Jesus, which you were singing about today, translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of his dear son. That's why if we walk in the light, he's in the light. The great spiritual weapon you can have against Satan is to stay in the light. Walk in the light. I'm almost there. Are you okay? I'm trying to go pretty quick. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. You don't have to say about the media. I'm as shocked that they're as well-behaved as they are. You got to get your truth in these latter days, not from the media, not the social media. We do a 21-day fast like you guys do. I have people who will go without food, even stick themselves with pins in their eye, as long as they don't have to give up social media. People are addicted. Young people are addicted up in Albany, New York to it. We have to tell them to put their phones away. We just had like 70 kids go away in a kids overnight, you know, a weekend for the young people. They had to collect the cell phones because they just can't receive. It's part of Satan's strategy to dilute this next generation. Remember something about doubt. Jesus said it this way, if a man will believe in his heart and confess with his mouth, I mean, Paul said that God raised him from the dead, he'll be saved. Jesus gave the principle of this, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things that he saith, he shall have the things that he saith. Now, I'm not talking about making things up. I'm not talking about confessing cars or bigger houses. I'm talking about saying the same thing the Word says. That's how we overcome Satan. Pastor Fink, this is just like so practical. Well, that's where people are failing right here. So let me give you another one. I got three, and I'm going to be done, and then we're going to pray. Number one, determine the source of your trouble. If you could do that, you'll find the greatest problems you face, you'll overcome. Stop blaming God. Stop blaming the devil. Amen? Here's number two. We're talking about keys to recovery. Number two is this. Know the reality of God's word in your life. We're going to just spend a few minutes there, and we're going to pray. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 says, you should be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We know what the word dunamis is, but that Greek word is endunamo, en dunamis. It means internal, being strong in the Lord. And by the way, you cannot be strong in the Lord if you're not strong in faith. This is not a teaching from the 70s. This is from 40-some years of just walking with Christ and God challenging me. I'm still believing God for things that are impossible. I've had some people in our church. I was up riding around a building. They probably want $5-6 million for it. And presently, this is what I got. Right there. At least I don't have a hole in my pants. And one of the brothers said, "Bro, I think you're just dreaming." And well, don't wake me up. Because as I get older, I started becoming too reserved. Dealing with too many people who don't want to walk in faith. You don't have to walk in faith, but live a miserable life. The victory that overcomes this world is living in our faith. Let me give you the scripture real quick, okay? Are you okay? I'm looking at that clock. I'm going ahead. And by the way, I want you to think about this. The Bible says that Abraham was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith. This is in the New King James, Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. The Greek word ethnos, we get the word ethnicities from. And you know what? When I was in Kenya, God said, come to Albany. And we have over 30 nations now in one church. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Yeah? All these different cultures have a tendency to click with each other. So I've been breaking it up. I threaten people. They know I've been going to the YMCA and working out, so I'm kind of intimidating them again. As it is written, I have made you the father of many ethnicities. In the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and call, that word call, kaleo, means to say something verbally out loud. Listen to the principle. Who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, believed in hope. Anybody here believe in hope when there is no hope? You know, my wife, we do a Facebook teaching together, and the word that God gave her was out of Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I'm with you, the Lord. When she was her sickest, she never changed. She believed she was healed by the stripes of Jesus. Was it easy? No. She lost all of her hair. She was in deep duress, but that woman had never said anything but God's word. When we got attacked again recently saying that they think her numbers were bad, the first thing my wife did was start declaring over her life, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. For the Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. And I would stand there. I'm trying not to be fearful, truthfully. Because there's one thing about when somebody goes through a hard time. It's another thing when you're watching it and walking with it. It's a whole different level of spiritual attack. Amen. Who believed in hope, even against hope, so that he became the father of many nations. Here it is. According to what was spoken. That Greek word, spoken, means to utter something, to utter. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, about 100 years old, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strength, I keep quoting the old King James, sorry, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You know that word, it says that he did not waver. It's the Greek word, diakoreno, which means to differ. Other times it was translated as the word doubt or unbelief. Now you can see in that context, there is the word unbelief, and it's a Greek word, apostia. Apostia is a Greek word that means have a lack of or a want of the word. Many of us have not stood for healing. We have an emotional thing. Yes, I believe it intellectually. I assent to it. But it's with the heart a person believes unto righteousness. And then the mouth makes a confession. Often some people just started confessing, but the heart isn't persuaded. The problem is unless you believe in your heart and then you say with your mouth, you differ. That's unbelief. Two different types of unbelief or doubt. Number one, apostasia is a lack of or want of the word. It's not that you don't want to believe God. You can't believe God because you don't have the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. That word has to dwell in you richly, those 18 inches from here to here. And then when you start, that's how I got saved. That's how I got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how I got healed of hepatitis A, B, C. And the doctor said, your liver is so destroyed, your life won't be much longer. That was 25 years ago. I get my liver checked every year. I got the liver of a young boy. Now I'm believing God for the head of a young man. It's going to take a lot of faith. That's, are you okay? And then we're almost there. And here's the second word for unbelief or doubt is apatheia. Apatheia is where we get the English word apathetic from. So if I want to deal with apatheia, I need to get more of the word. Can I tell you, in the last few months, I've listened to the book of James 25 times. I'm going through Hebrews right now probably 15, 18 times because I learn so quick. You learn by repetition. How'd you learn your ABCs? Come on, help me, somebody. And so today, with what's on the internet, this morning I was up 4:00. I listened to the book of Hebrews. I'm stuck in the old King James. Listen to Alexander Scorby. He's indelibly impressed upon my brain. Whenever I hear the Bible, I hear Alexander Scorby with a British accent, you know. So how do I deal if I want to believe God, but I can't believe God. You got to get more of the word. You got to hide that word in your heart. So you sin not against God. The book of Hebrews says the children of Israel didn't go into the promised land because of their unbelief, their apatheia. It also was translated as unpersuadable. So how do I deal if I'm here today and I'm apathetic towards healing? I'm apathetic towards the needs of other people, whether it's foster children. How do I deal with apatheia? You got to repent. That's an evil heart of unbelief. God must be believed. We are believers. Come on. Never confess you're a doubting Thomas, ever. I'm not a doubting Thomas. I'm a believer. I'm fully persuaded that which God has promised, he'll bring it to pass. And you need to talk about it. You need to utter that word to yourself. Hallelujah. Wow. So here it is. Faith is the key that sets in motion the laws of the kingdom. It's your faith. Faith is simply receiving what God has already supplied through the cross. He's already supplied your need for healing. He's already supplied your need for all I have needed to life and godliness. This says peace, grace and peace is multiplied into you, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So I hear people praying for peace. You don't get peace by prayer. You get peace by believing the promises of the word of God. That's how you got peace. Peace comes through believing the scriptures. As I said, my wife is the example to me in the midst of a deep spiritual warfare that had physical consequences. She would hold to that word. We had a frame of that scriptures. She writes, in fact, we like a guy named Rick Renner. And so we like Rick. And then one day my wife was fighting, I wasn't home, the depression about the cancer. When she was waiting. So on Rick Renner's ministry, he says, if you need prayer, call this number. My wife just said, you weren't around. I called that number. The lady prays for her and then says, God gave me a word for you. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Her faith stood up on the inside. Because all of us are human. We have moments when we get down spiritually. We listen to people's conversation that try to pull us down. You know, my dad used to say, misery loves company. Here's my last one. These are very practical, very practical. I actually have 7 of them, but I'm going to get to the last one right now. I'll be done. Number one, find the source of your trouble. Anybody know number 2? Number 3, know the reality of your right standing with God. You know, there are people who get upset with God. I've had people die. In the last 2 years, I've had about seven people die. And people try to receive from God by their feelings. Feelings is not what moves God. It's your belief and your trust and adherence to what the Word says. And look, in this fallen world, there's times that I don't understand why some of my prayers aren't answered, but I don't blame God. He's got the benefit of the doubt in my world, because if all he ever did was just save me, the worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to leave this body and go to heaven and be with him. My mom, my dad, my grandparents, my brother died 2 years ago. I'm going to be with a lot of people. My wife's family died, both parents, saved, redeemed. I don't know, but there's information being leaked out from the Holy Spirit that when I get to heaven, I get in a new body. And for you who have judged me with my body, you might get my body with your head on it, so you need to be careful today. We're almost there. Hallelujah. Let me give you the scripture that you do know. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. One version says a new type of species that never existed before. This is the first time in God's dealing with humanity that God no longer is coming upon us. He's in us. He's Christ in you. Christ in you. The mighty Christ, the one who said, let there be light, and then 186 miles per second through his light. He is in you. Believe the word of the Lord. You believe the word of the Lord, demons are not a problem. I had heard I think it was Kenneth Hagin when I was young, or maybe I forgot who it was. It might have been Hagin. No, it wasn't Hagin. I can't think of his name. I can see him. But long story short, he had a daughter who just went into rebellion against the things of God. And look it. My children have had their struggles. It only happens up in Albany County. It doesn't happen down here in Columbia County. And I remember, what was it? It was Norval Hayes. That's what I was thinking of, Norval Hayes. And so his family was under demonic attack. And so one morning he woke up. He thought somebody was in his room. And when he wakes up, there at the end of his bed, he said Satan was standing there. And he looked at Satan. He said, oh, it's only you. Went back to sleep. Because you must believe greater is he who's in you than he who's within the world. However you big, whatever it's going to take to stop you and you think it, then that's what the devil's going to send. But you need to take the name of Jesus. Enforce Calvary's victory in his mighty name. I know it's old-fashioned, it's old Pentecostal, but that's the way we live our lives. Hallelujah. Therefore, if any man was in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. This verse changed my life. At 22 years old, changed my life. I was raised in a good group of people, but every time I came to God, I came as a beggar. I came as a worthless piece of garbage. That's what they said. You're nothing but a worm. And that's how I would approach God. I'd spend most of my time trying to justify him not sending me to hell after I got saved. And then I had a wonderful pastor say to me, 1976, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, you want to please God, young man? I'm there, yeah. You must read 10 chapters of the Bible every day. I'm going to tell you, if I only fell asleep and I read 8.5, I'd get a flat tire. I was always, would you believe in your heart? And I would say, I only read 7 chapters. I'd be looking for the devil everywhere. It's according to what you believe. And so we have right standing with God. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You can read the whole scripture. I'm telling you, this morning, up early today, even when I sin, it's none of your business. I no longer run from God. When I was a young Christian, I'd get knocked out. Sometimes I wouldn't even pray, read my Bible for days. I'd be so upset. But now, I really believe there's power in the blood of Jesus. I do. What can wash away my sins? Nothing. The old hymn writer said, there's a fountain that flows from Emmanuel's veins. We have sinners, we've plunged beneath and lost all of our guilty stain. There's power, wonderful working power. We know the scripture that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's been misunderstood. The way it says in the Greek, I wrote a little book about this. It says that we overcome Satan by testifying what the word says the blood does. About 26 adjectives in the New Testament that describe the power of the blood of Jesus. I look over in Romans chapter 5. I got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith, I have access into his grace. I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace with Jesus because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I the blood of Jesus is still speaking today, the book of Hebrews says. So find out what the word says the blood does. That's one of the ways that you enforce Calvary's victory in the time of spiritual attack. I don't say plead the blood. It's not in the Bible. I'm going to be run out of Columbia County. I'll give you a free round trip ticket to the Holy Land. You can find me one scripture that says plead, 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 plead. But I can find you scriptures that you testify what the word says the blood does. Find out what those adjectives are. Take that and enforce Calvary victory because you have right standing. Here it is. Right standing is a gift from God. I've realized because I have right standing with God, I've learned to draw strength from his promises. That's how we live. Pastor Fink, this is kind of practical. You talk to Christians who have struggled. You'll find that they had some disappointing situation. They couldn't discern properly the source of their trouble, so they blamed God. They become disenchanted with God. That's Satan's strategy to dilute you spiritually, and it gets you sidetracked. But I'm not going to be sidetracked. Anybody agree with me today? So you know this. You can't earn the righteousness. You can't work for righteousness. You can't do any good things to get right standing with God. You have to be accounted by faith that you have right standing with God. I'm so excited that I have been accepted according to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 says the blood of Jesus. I have redemption, come on, and the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. I never waste time wondering if God loves me anymore. Never. A young Christian, he would take me out with that. I remember, I'm going to close with this and ask them to come up in the music and we're going to pray. I remember as a young Christian, there was an elder in our church. And by the way, I'm not saying I should have been, but I've been an elder since I was 23. I'm not saying I should have been. I would have never had me as an elder. That's almost 60 years. And he was moving, had five kids, and he was moving to out where they drill oil out there in the Badlands out there, Dakotas. So I said I would drive a U-Haul trail. That was in the days when they had governors. Anybody old remember the governors on the car? You couldn't go over 55 miles an hour. I have four kids in the front seat. You want to talk about living hell? They're hitting each other and fighting. I'm, stop it! It was just horrible. And so before I come back, I was going to come back on a train, and I call my wife. These were good people. They love God. These were good people. But wrong theology creates wrong methodology. So I call my wife. I had a 1969 Chevy station wagon. My wife got the oil checked. And whoever checked it didn't put the hood down all the way. Got a new baby. I don't even know if we had, definitely didn't have seat belts. You know? I don't know if we had a car seat, but she was driving, going towards Ravina, actually, in 144, I think it's called. 55 miles an hour, the hood comes up. Bends over the top of the car. Almost lost my wife and my baby. So when my wife called me, I was so shaken. So the elders got together and they prayed with me. And then one of them said to me, you know why this has happened to your wife? And I didn't think because the guy didn't push the hood down, you know, that was too practical. He said, because you have sin in your life. It doesn't sound alike, but when you're 21, 22, I wept. God would kill my kids because I have sin. It sounds so simple today. Because the word of God has brought light, it's brought liberty, it's brought freedom to me. Those people were not evil, but wrong theology creates wrong methodology. I want you to stand up with me and declare with me. Are you okay today? I hope this wasn't just too practical. I could have given you stuff on the book of Revelation and all that, but I'm finding even ministers are struggling with these spiritual attacks. So let me tell you another way that you can defeat unbelief and doubt. You ready? You wonder, why is my faith not strong and robust? Here's why. Because some of you in this room pay money to have junk pumped into your house, and it feeds you the wrong information all day long. And what happens, it's not a faith problem, but it's a doubt problem. The Bible says you've got to guard your heart. That means you need to be selective what you watch. I don't like that, Pastor Fane. Well, then suffer. You cannot watch stuff full of unbelief or with swearing in it, stuff that's antichrist. And then when you have an hour, if you wait till you need faith to get faith, it's too late. You got to get strong in the Lord now. That means you got to practice spiritual deduction. Shut some of that stuff off. Say, I'm not going to do it. We've had to cancel stuff with cable and all that kind of. We cancel it all because when you wait till you need faith to get faith, it could be too late. You're going to have to do this. Feed your faith. Somebody say, feed your faith. And starve your unbelief. Let's pray. Every head bowed today. I might not know everybody here today, but I want you to know that God is for you. Don't judge God's love by the fallenness of humanity. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. I'm waiting to hear the shout of an archangel, the blast of a trump. I pray that we're the generation that will be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord. We see the dead in Christ raised. If you're here today, I'm going to continue fasting until this afternoon. So will the blessing of the Lord be upon you. Greet one another. If you'd like to come down for prayer, we will be here to bless you. God bless you. Thank you for listening today.